I'm going to read from Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to Jesus' tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered Jesus' words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Thank you, Becca. I want you to get into little groups, that's your family group or the people you came with, and to talk about, just for a couple of minutes, what things make you sad. What things make you sad? So maybe turn to the person next to you, or your family that you came with, or the friends you came with, and just talk about that for a couple of minutes. Okay. Shall we come back together then? Anybody want to tell us over here anything that makes them feel sad? Yes, Barney. When Catherine is grumpy with you. She's not grumpy with you. She's nodding. You're grumpy with him, are you? I'd never be grumpy. I'm never grumpy, am I? What makes you sad, Catherine?
Being all alone.
Being on your own. Yeah, that's quite sad, isn't it? Anything else over here? Anything else to make? Yes, Chris.
Saying goodbye to people.
Saying goodbye to people. Yeah, that can be sad, can't it? Yeah. Anybody else? Henry, in the middle, in this section. What makes you sad? I think we're never sad in our house, are we? Always happy, always cheerful, always smiling. Yeah, that's it. Yep. Anybody over here? Anything makes you sad? What makes you sad, Glyn?
Bambi.
That is a sad one, isn't it? That's a very sad one. Yeah, it's on Monday, apparently. Yeah. Anybody else here? Anybody? Yes, John. That's true, isn't it? When a close friend or relative gets injured or dies. That's right. Well, I don't know if you've still got your Bibles open at Luke 24, but how do you think the women feel in verse 1? It's the first day of the week, so it was on a Sunday. Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. How are the women feeling to Jesus' tomb? How do you think they feel? Yes, Catherine. They feel sad, don't they? Why are they feeling sad? Because Jesus has died. That's right. So Jesus' friends were feeling very sad. That's right. But What's the big surprise when Jesus' friends come to his tomb? What's the big surprise? Well, verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, do you think it was easy to roll away the stone? No, it wasn't. No group of women could have done this. And who'd been guarding the tomb? Anybody know? Who'd been guarding it before this? Yes, Robbie. Soldiers. That's right. So there'd been a great big stone. There'd been the Roman soldiers. And now no soldiers. And the tomb is empty and open. Verse 3, when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I wonder what the women thought when they saw the tomb empty. In John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene thinks the body has been stolen. In verse 4, while they were wondering about this, who do they meet? Who do they meet in the story? Who knows? Yes, John. Yes, angels. That's right. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. I wonder if you believe in angels. Psalm 91:11 says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." We can't see them, but God is sending his angels throughout the world to do his work. Well, how do the women feel when they see the angels? What do they do? Go on then, John. They did do that at the end. That's quite right. They did. But verse 5, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Remember this. If you should ever meet an angel, you're not meant to worship them. You're meant to worship God. Verse 5, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Have you ever had that experience? You get yourself into a tizzy, and then you remember God's words. For example, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." It's good to remember God's word before we get into a tizzy. Obviously, if you want to remember God's word, you need to memorize God's word. So we all need to be reading it every day, ideally morning and evening. We won't be able to remember God's word if we don't read it and if we don't memorize it. I know it's hard, and we all forget what we've read, but keep trying. Keep reading God's word. Your spiritual health depends upon it. Now, who knows what an evangelist is? Yes, David. Somebody who spreads the good news of the gospel. That's right. Someone who tells others who Jesus is, what he's done. Now, in our reading in Luke 24, who are the first evangelists after the resurrection? Who are the first to share the good news that Jesus is alive. Who is it? Yes, Elizabeth. The women. That's right. Verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things. They spoke. They said it. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Now then, have a think about this. Who can you be an evangelist to? Who can you tell about Jesus? Perhaps it's someone in school. Perhaps it's someone in work. Perhaps it's someone at home. It's very important to be praying for your friends so that God will bless you. So that as you tell people that Jesus is alive, the Holy Spirit shows them that it's true. Verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. And we need to be telling each other biblical truth too. So children, make sure you tell your parents what you've been reading in the Bible. Parents, make sure you read the Bible with your children. Tell each other Bible truth. However, what happens, verse 11? Did they believe them? What happens? No, they didn't. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. They shouldn't have seemed like nonsense. Look at verse 7. Jesus clearly explained that he would be crucified,
that he would rise again. The Bible
should never seem like nonsense to us, but only the Holy Spirit can make us understand God's word. That's why when we read the Bible, we should always pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to understand and believe God's word. We need to be praying for our friends who are not Christians yet, that the Holy Spirit will enable them to understand and believe. But look at Peter in verse 12. But Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. God is giving Peter faith. He's willing to believe that it might be true. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Well, where are you this morning? Are you like the women? Are you full of faith? Do you remember what God says in his word? Are you reminding yourself of God's word every day? Are you telling God's word to others? Or are you like the disciples in verse 11? Does the whole thing seem like nonsense to you? I'd put it to you that the death and resurrection of Jesus are facts of history. If you want to look into this claim, we can sell you a book outside on our information table called Cure for Life. It goes through the evidence for why we can believe that Jesus really did die on the cross and rise again from the grave. But perhaps this morning, you're like Peter, and God is stirring faith within you. Perhaps you're interested enough to want to find out more. We run a course called Christianity Explored, where we go over the basics of the Christian faith. And you can ask any question you like. Do speak to one of us about this afterwards. We'd love to have you with us. But perhaps there's someone here this morning, and you've understood. You need God. You realize you're a sinner. You've disobeyed God. And your sin, my sin, nailed Jesus to the cross. He took the punishment there for our sin, so that you and I can be forgiven. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead proves that it's all true. He is God. He has defeated our sin. He has defeated death. And we can go to heaven when we die. If that's you this morning, don't delay. Commit your life to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died on the cross to pay for all our sin, that we might be completely forgiven and be in a right relationship with you. And we thank you that he rose from the dead that first Easter day to show that these things are all true. Thank you that we can look into the verifiable facts of the resurrection. Father, I pray for each one of us here this morning, wherever we are on our spiritual journey. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be giving gifts of faith to each one of us, gifts of repentance, that we might turn from our sin, put our faith in the Lord Jesus, and follow him all the days of our lives. In his name, amen.